Previously on Heroes.
Help us take down Building 26.
Denko's men are killers. Just let it go, guys.
Hero says, I will freeze time and take them down. He grimaces in pain. His nose bleeds.
I'm not going with you, Peter. Maybe you're ready to move on. But I'm not. I'm not ready to forgive myself. Not yet.
Mahinda's shot with tranquilizer darts.
Oh, thank God. Hi.
There's a van down the street filled with agents. I can hold them off for now, but I gotta get the two of you guys out of here. I can't go with you.
Why not?
I have to go back. I have to face them. And I have to end this. Or we cannot have a life together.
Wait, can you do it without leaving him?
Who are you?
I can be anything I want.
When the president agrees to meet with me, when he agrees to shake my hand, real change will come to this country.
How's he doing this?
He's a shapeshifter. And now he's one handshake away from being the most powerful man on Earth.
I just have to make sure that he doesn't meet the president first.
I'll go with you.
I started this, Pete. I gotta end it.
There are nearly 7 billion people on this planet.
Danko shoots Nathan in the back of the neck with a tranquilizer dart. Chapter 12, An Invisible Thread.
Each one unique. Different. What are the chances of that? And why? Is it simply biology? Physiology that determines this diversity? A collection of thoughts, memories, experiences that carve out our own special place? Or is it something more than this?
Outside Arlington, Virginia.
Perhaps there's a master plan that drives the randomness of creation. Something unknowable that dwells in the soul and presents each one of us with a unique set of challenges that will help us discover who we really are.
Angela wakes up.
You okay? Do you have a dream?
It's Nathan.
What about him?
He's
what?
In trouble.
He's not the only one.
What is it, Noah?
That construction work we passed about a mile back wasn't real. There's gonna be a roadblock half a mile or so ahead. This is where you get out.
Bennett opens the car doors for Claire and Angela.
Head 2 miles in that direction, and then follow the surface streets into the city.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna buy you some time. Here, it's a secure line. I will find you. Get to Nathan and make sure it is him. He'll be on Silo's trail by now.
But Dad, listen
to your father.
I love you, Claire.
He gives Claire a hug, then gets back into the car. He drives off, and Claire and Angela walk off into the night. Bennett slowly approaches a roadblock, traffic cones and barriers lining the road, and a police car parked in one lane, its lights flashing. Two officers approach the car, shining their torches at Bennett. He peers out of the window at one of the officers.
Is there a problem, officer?
A truck pulls up behind Bennett's car, and armed soldiers pour out the back and surround the car. Nathan Petrelli's Senate office, Washington, D.C. Siler comes in, drying his hands on a towel.
What are you doing? I told you, I need you to be Taub.
I'm not interested in what you need.
He grimaces, turning to reveal a blade embedded in the back of his head. He drops to the floor.
Such a waste. You could have been so helpful. Just didn't know your place. Agent Gordon, send a cleanup crew.
Danko's shocked to see Siler moving. He leans up and slowly staggers to his feet, then turns to face him. Siler reaches behind his head and pulls out the blade. He looks at the knife in his hand, then fixes his gaze on Danko.
That hurt. Shapeshifting. You gotta love it, right?
With a flick of his hand, Siler throws him across the room.
The changes don't just happen on the outside either. Remember that little off switch in the back of my head? I moved it.
Go ahead. Get it over with.
My man will be here any second to collect patrol.
I know. I got plans for them.
Looking at Nathan.
Hell, I have plans for all of us.
You gonna kill him?
Later. Right after I absorb all of his memories. This little ability Angela Petrelli fed me like a snack. Because Nathan, and by Nathan, I mean I, have a rendezvous with Destiny tomorrow. The president's giving a speech at the Stanton Hotel. Senator Petrelli's gonna be there to have a little meeting with him right afterwards.
What for?
Nothing. Just to shake his hand. And when I do, I'm gonna be the most powerful man in the world.
You better kill me now. Because there's no way I'm gonna let that happen.
No, I don't need to kill you. Because in 30 seconds, there's not a person on this planet who'll believe a word you say.
Scylla morphs his face into Danko's. Pinned against the wall, Danko watches, shocked. Scylla smiles thinly. He takes Danko's gun, then opens the office door, aims the gun outside, and fires. He steps back into the office and with a flick of his finger pulls Danko off the wall. Then he morphs into Agent Daub and points his gun at Danko.
I got him! He's in here!
Danko stands up and Scylla presses the gun against his head as the agents charge in.
You son of a bitch!
Heroes, created by Tim Kring. The capital, Washington, D.C.
Think there's a chance I didn't get caught?
Noah? No. That was his plan all along.
I don't know how my dad always manages to get himself in the middle of everything.
Because he puts himself there, mostly because of you. You have no idea the lengths a parent will go to ensure the safety of their child. Something I hope you never have to find out for yourself. Now, this is where I get off.
What do you mean?
I just want to make sure you got here safely. I'm not going in there with you to see Nathan.
Why not?
Because I need to go find Matt Parkman.
Is this about your dream?
In it, Parkman saves Nathan's life.
Okay, so why don't you just come up and warn Nathan and tell him how to avoid danger?
It's not how it works. I cannot change what I dreamed, but I can help push its outcome. Now, you go find Nathan, and I will find you later.
Angela strides away, and Claire, looking a little troubled, wanders across the grand lobby. Scylla's in front of a mirror, wearing a white shirt and adjusting his tie.
Nathan. Wake up.
Nathan's lying on the floor.
Hey, wake up. You want to be convincing when we meet the president today, right? I'm gonna need all those sick little twisted memories of yours. Mm-hmm. Such a lightweight. To hell with it. Got plenty of memories from all this stuff you've got lying around here anyway. Your diploma says you graduated with honors from Annapolis. These cufflinks tell me a different story. Politicians.
Sir, someone here to see you. She claims to be your daughter.
All right. Send her in.
Scylla, now morphed into Nathan, turns to the door as Claire comes in.
Claire. I'm glad you finally made it. I was beginning to get worried about you.
Did you find him?
Siler? Yeah, but he got away. He's going to the Stanton Hotel to meet the president in an hour. I'm going to intercept the president first and warn him.
And tell him what? That Nathan Petrelli has a lookalike?
If I have to, yeah. Blow the lid off this whole thing. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to shut down Building 26.
And how do I know this is you?
What are you talking about?
How do I know you're not Siler?
Claire. I'm me.
He touches the heart-shaped pendant around her neck.
We spent a lot of time together over the past few days. Mexico. I was beginning to think you knew me better than anyone else.
Sorry.
That's all right. Listen, why don't you stay here? I've got a car taking me to the Stanton Hotel. Lay low until I can clean this whole mess up.
No, I want to come with you. In case anything goes wrong.
It's not gonna be safe.
So what? I can't get hurt. And I need to help stop Siler. It's time I put myself in the middle of this and made a difference.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
He puts on his jacket.
You're right. If things do go south, I want you right there. Right by my side.
Building 26, Washington, D.C. Armed guards escort Denko from the back of a van.
Come on.
Hiro and Ando are watching a short distance away. Ando asks, "How are you feeling?" Hiro replies, "Better." Ando says, "We don't have to do this. We can turn around right now." Hiro says, "I'm okay. It was just a headache." Ando retorts, "And a nosebleed. You're getting sick from using your power." Hiro says, "Maybe so, but we have to get inside. We must save the ones who are being held, and we must shut down this operation." Ando replies, "Then let's use my power instead. We're a team now. I'll use my Crimson Arc to..." "That won't be enough," interrupts Hiro. "Look at this security. We have to stop time." "No," says Ando. "It's too dangerous." "Just one more time," Hiro says, "I promise." Ando warns, "It's just a headache now. Next, your head could explode." "Explode," exclaims Hiro. "Really?" He looks mortified by the prospect. Then with a look of resolve, he says, "Then that's just the chance I'll have to take." Danko's being led down a corridor by the armed guards, a belligerent look on his face as they push and shove him forward. He's led past the head office, where the staff stop their work and turn to stare. The guards shove him into a bare room with a single bench, then slam the door shut.
"Fancy meeting you here."
Bennett steps out of the shadows. Bennett regards him with a quietly satisfied expression. Nathan stirs into consciousness, then slowly turns over and eases himself to his feet. Peter opens the door, startling him.
"I'll bet you're happy to see me."
"Siler, we gotta stop."
His legs buckle.
"A lot of help you're gonna be."
"Okay, let's hear it." "Lecture." Finger wagging the general, "I told you so." "Then I screwed up. Refused to listen."
"And then you got into bed with Siler. That's all over now, clearly."
"That's very zen of you."
"No, it's practical. If we get out of here, we're gonna have to throw everybody and everything we have at Siler, try to get a spike into the back of his head."
"Spike's not gonna cut it anymore. You move the spot."
"Great."
"How the hell did you do it? Deal with all of this? Can't capture all of them, can't contain them. There are no rules. Not even gravity."
"It's all about spinning plates. Living in the gray area. So many years of middle management become second nature."
"So in 20 years, I'll get it?"
20 years and an adopted daughter. If I didn't have Claire, I'd be following the same dogma that took you right over the edge. I'd be exactly in your position."
"You are exactly in my position."
"Yeah. We should do something about that."
"Together."
Danko offers his hand, and as Bennett reaches for it, time freezes, their hands inches apart from each other. Hiro and Ando open the cell door, and when they see who's inside, Hiro shakes his head. Then they go into the head office, where everyone's frozen in mid-action. Hiro says, "Good. We have to find where they keep the prisoners." They search the office. Ando notices pictures of both of them on a board and pulls them off and puts them in his pocket. Ando glances over at Hiro and looks alarmed.
Hiro.
He says, "Your ear, it's bleeding." Hiro touches his ear and looks at the blood on his fingers. He gives Ando a reassuring smile and says, "I'm fine. Come on, let's hurry." They go into another room where all of the prisoners are being kept.
Holy crap.
They're all lying on tables, each attached to a drip with a spotlight shining down on their faces. Hiro and Ando split up and go from body to body, checking their faces.
Hiro.
Ando finds Mahinda and says, "It's Dr. Suresh." Hiro says, "Let's help him down. I have an idea." They lift Mahinda off the table, taking a tube out of his nose. Sometime later, and they've replaced all of the prisoners with the guards and office workers, all of them lying on the tables, their bodies still frozen in various positions. Hiro says, "Payback is very bitchy." Suddenly, the prisoners and staff flop out of their positions onto the tables, and Hiro clutches his head. Bennett and Danko see that the cell doors open.
Is this a trick?
I don't know.
They go to the door.
No guards?
Something's very wrong here.
Hiro.
Ando's ushering out the prisoners.
Hiro, what happened?
We are rescuing you.
I'll try to repay you later. But right now we have to get out of here as soon as we can. Are you okay?
No, he's not. He has nosebleeds and headaches from stopping time.
I'm fine.
You're a doctor, right? You can help him.
Hey, open your eyes wide. Your pupils are dilated. Do you have any stiffness in your left arm or dizziness?
Hiro glances at Ando.
Yes. But Bruce Wayne only slept 2 hours a night.
Hiro.
Hiro. These abilities allow us to do superhuman things, but you are still human, and your human body is rejecting these powers like a virus.
But this power, it is what makes me strong. My destiny.
You can't freeze time again. Do you understand?
Stanton Hotel, Washington, D.C.
Thanks. So what's the plan? We just tell him the president's in danger?
That'll just send him down a rabbit hole. And then Siler can become a rabbit. Just gotta play close to the vest. Follow my lead, okay?
Nathan, it's good to see you, man.
This is my daughter, Claire. Claire, this is Liam.
Samuels, President's Chief of Staff. I live in America.
Your dad and I barely survived boarding school together.
Barely. Listen, I really appreciate the president giving me some time this afternoon.
Sure, he just stepped up on stage. His speech usually clocks in about 90 minutes.
Whatever works for him, but I'd like to stick around, close by.
Absolutely, we got a suite upstairs. Come here. Do me a favor, sign in right here, and Frank will show you how to get up there, all right?
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
You too. I thought you were right-handed.
Ambidextrous. I bat righty, throw lefty. You coming?
Siler and Claire get into a lift. Danko and Bennett are in the head office.
Prisoners are gone. Entire unit's been captured.
Well, seeing as how your unit was trying to kill us, I think we caught a break.
How the hell did this happen?
I tried to tell you before this whole thing started. Your men alone are never going to be a match for people with abilities.
Danko opens a case and takes out a canister with a tranquilizer dart inside.
You sure this'll work?
Well, tasers didn't work on Siler, but one shot of this will put an elephant down.
Trick is getting close enough to the elephant.
As Bennett goes round the desk, Danko creeps up behind him, raising the dart. It suddenly disappears from his hand, and then it's in Hiro's hand as he plunges it into Danko's neck. Danko collapses.
Hiro.
Hero bows his head, then falls back, Ando catching him.
Call 911. I've got to get to the stand. I've got to stop Siler.
Go, we'll stay with him.
Siler, still morphed as Nathan, is standing by the window and turns to look at Claire sitting on the sofa wearing an uneasy expression. She takes her phone out of her pocket. She looks at the display, then looks up at Siler. Bennett striding down a corridor.
Hello?
Oh, thank God. Where are you?
I'm with Nathan.
Are you sure it's him?
She shushes the real Claire.
Oh, it's him. Don't worry.
How do you know?
She morphs into Siler, while the real Claire seethes with anger.
Because it's me.
Bennett stops in his tracks. Siler smells Claire's hair.
Oh, God. This is fun.
Claire opens a bottle of wine, bristling with resentment, while Siler's lounging on a sofa behind her.
Don't you love a good Pinot?
My dad's on his way. He's gonna stop you, and then I'm gonna kill you.
No. Actually, I am gonna kill him. Or have you kill him? I haven't decided yet. Don't give me that look. Everybody dies sometime. Well, almost everybody. Papa Petrelli, Mama Bennett, Mr. Muggles. What's your brother's name again, Larry?
Lyle,
right. He's gonna die too.
He makes Claire bring two glasses.
As we speak, my father's dying.
He uses his telekinetic power to force her to sit on the opposite sofa.
Did I tell you I got to meet my real dad? Boy, was that a disappointment. Have you ever stopped to think about how much we have in common, Claire? You were adopted. I was adopted. You can't die.
He sits beside her.
I can't die.
Oh, you can die. I'll make sure of it.
He sips his wine, raising two fingers and telekinetically forcing Claire to sip from her glass, too.
You'll get bored. After like 100 years of trying to off me and watching all of your loved ones drop like flies, you may eventually come to forgive me.
He touches her hair.
Maybe you'll even love me.
I'll keep trying to kill you for the rest of my life.
Well, everybody needs a hobby. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't bridges that need to be built, but if we start building them now, who knows?
Caressing her face.
You could be my first lady.
Nathan and Peter stride into the lobby.
Sorry, Senator, there's a full lockdown. No one gets in or out without talking to Mr. Samuels.
You better talk to Mr. Samuels.
I have Senator Nathan Petrelli requesting access to the building.
Is there a problem?
He says you're already inside.
If you're here, then who the hell's up in that suite? And I can either know now or after we take him down.
You're not gonna do that. You sent your men up there and they will die.
He's right. His name is Siler. He's extremely dangerous.
And he's a target? He's one of them?
He's one of them. He's... I gotta stop saying that. He's one of us. He's one of us.
Nathan rises a few feet into the air and the agents take out their guns.
Liam, I've been lying to the president.
I've been lying to myself. And I will take full responsibility for my crimes when the day comes.
But today we're gonna course correct.
There's a man in that suite upstairs. They need to be stopped.
And how do you suggest we do that?
You don't. We do. Siler can only be stopped by people like us.
My brother can do whatever Siler can do. We just have to get him close enough to touch him. Just give us a 5-minute head start.
That's all I'm asking.
Nathan and Peter stride down a corridor.
I'll take him high, you take him low. Let's cut the son of a bitch in two.
I love you, Pete. You know that.
Of course. I love you too, Nathan.
They approach the double doors of the room.
Ready.
The doors fly open and Claire's hurled out and hits the wall.
Go!
Siler ignites a ball of energy in each hand. Nathan and Peter fly into the room and Siler shoots ribbons of energy at them. The doors slam shut and Claire tries to open them but they won't budge. She peers through a gap between the doors, blue light flashing through the crack. She steps away from the doors looking around, but when all goes silent, she goes back to the doors and opens them. Fragments of debris are floating around the demolished room. A window's broken, some of the furniture's on fire, and wisps of smoke hang in the air. Peter staggers to his feet.
Yeah. Where'd they go?
The window.
Can you fly after them? We have to find them. Come on!
Peter and Claire run out of the room. A moment later, Nathan's flung in through the window, crashing into a piano. Siler gently floats into the room, and as Nathan stands up to face him, Siler swipes two fingers through the air, slitting Nathan's throat. Blood gushes out. A small smile touches Siler's face as he watches Nathan's agony. Nathan falls back onto an armchair, the blood flowing out of him.
Oh, Claire's gonna be so mad at me.
Nathan's head falls back, and he becomes still, his eyes staring lifelessly at the ceiling. Siler morphs into Nathan, then walks out. Washington, D.C. Matt gets off a bus and scans the people milling about.
It's about time.
Mrs. Petrelli, what are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
How did you find me?
I had a dream. Nathan's in trouble. Something terrible happened to him. And then you saved him. I don't know how. All I know is you have to come with me.
I can't. I'm sorry.
My dreams don't lie, Mr. Parkman. No, I need you to come with me.
I came here to stop those agents from coming after us. I need to be able to go back to my boy and know he can live his life without being hunted. Sorry about Nathan.
Then we want the same thing. And without Nathan, none of that is possible. You don't have to read minds to know that. Come with me.
Matt considers. Peter to Claire.
We should separate here. You go that way. I'll look for Nathan over here.
Hold it!
Noah?
You tell me that's Claire, not Siler.
I just fought Siler, okay? That is Claire. Put the gun down.
Dad, it's me.
Bennett lowers his gun, and Claire throws her arms around him.
Did you take his power?
Yeah.
So we can stop him.
Freeze! On the ground!
The president's life is in danger. You want him to live? You need to listen to us.
I said on the ground!
You can either listen to me now, or I'll tell you after you shoot me.
She walks right up to the agent until his gun is pressed against her forehead.
They were here, Peter and Nathan.
I'm sorry. Only authorized personnel beyond this point. This is a Secret Service badge. You're gonna let us through. Oh, sorry.
You guys go ahead.
Matt goes into the demolished room and sees Nathan's body.
You don't want to see this.
Mrs. Petrelli. No, I need to.
Mrs. Petrelli.
I need to. Nathan.
Please.
Nathan.
She lays eyes upon Nathan's lifeless body, and a cold, numb shock settles on her face. She closes his eyes and stares at him. Her face wrecked with grief, then pulls him to her and holds him.
My dream. You were supposed to save him.
Sila, still morphed into Nathan, strides into the kitchen just as some Secret Service agents usher through the president. Liam Samuel spots him.
His wife is president. Nathan, is that you?
Of course it's me.
We're getting the president out through the basement. I can't give you any more time.
That's all right. You don't have any more time to give.
The president strides through a narrow corridor surrounded by agents, and Sila, now morphed into Liam Samuels, steps in line behind them. The group of men head into an underground car park.
This way, Mr. President.
The president gets into a car. Sila strides into the car park, gets into the back of the car, and sits opposite the president, smiling.
Thank God you're all right, sir.
The Secret Service did a hell of a job today.
And so did you.
Sila offers his hand. The president takes hold of it and doesn't let go. Sila's face morphs over and over again, the features melting into each other, before finally becoming Sila's own face. The president sticks a dart into Sila's throat and morphs into Peter.
But she didn't think I took that one from you.
He pushes Sila back onto the seat, unconscious. Nathan's body is draped with a blood-stained sheet. Bennett lays Sila down on a sofa, still unconscious.
This is insane. This will never work.
It'll make it work.
It's the only way.
But it has to be right now. I don't know how much time I bought sending Peter and Claire after Nathan.
Why don't you just chain him up, huh? Or trank him. Isn't that what you guys love to do? I don't want to be part of this.
I thought you came back to protect your family, Matt.
I did, but what you're asking me to do is crazy.
Who will convince the president the whole thing was a mistake without Nathan? Nothing's gonna change.
Word gets out that a person with abilities murdered a U.S. senator, you're gonna have 100 Dankos out there.
Even if I could do what you're asking me to do, he would never really be Nathan. He'd always be Sylar.
Sylar can absorb all of Nathan's memories, and the entire history of anything he touches will fill in the gaps.
Physically, no one will ever know the difference. It'll be permanent. Look, the last thing in the world I want is to see that son of a bitch still alive, and I have to lie to my family about it. But we need Sylar to be Nathan Petrelli again. Matt, you don't do this. Nathan is gone forever.
Matt points to Sila.
And how do we explain what happened to him?
There's a body in deep freeze in Building 26. It's identical, shapeshifter.
Your son, Mr. Parkman, you just wanted to protect him. Can you honestly tell me that if something happened to him, you wouldn't do anything, anything to keep him in your life? I can't lose Nathan, not like this. I'm begging you.
Matt considers, torn with indecision. He goes over to Sila. He leans over him, then grips his face. Angela crouches down beside them.
You're no longer Sila. No longer Gabriel Gray. My life is over. Siler's dead. You're no longer Sila. Sila. You're no longer Sila. No longer Gabriel Gray. My life is over. Sila is dead.
Memories from Sila's life flash by.
You're now Nathan. Son, brother, father, Senator Nathan Petrelli.
Sila comes to with a jolt. His body twitches on the sofa, his eyes still closed. Matt and the others stare down at him in anticipation as Sila turns away onto his side. When he rolls back, he is Nathan Petrelli, and awake.
Huh?
Angela looks at him with torn emotions, and Matt turns doubtfully to Noah.
We are all connected, joined together by an invisible thread, infinite in its potential and fragile in its design. Yet while connected, we are also merely individuals, empty vessels to be filled with infinite possibilities. An assortment of thoughts, beliefs, a collection of disjointed memories and experiences.
The core group of heroes, Nathan, Matt, Mahinda, Hero and Ando, Claire, Peter, Angela and Noah, all stand around a flaming pyre and solemnly watch what looks like the body of Syla burn.
It's a new beginning, Mom.
Can I be me without these? Can you be you?
Noah walks over to Angela and Nathan as the flames burn higher.
Take it the president agreed to it?
Funding, resources, deniability.
I told them I found just the man to head up our new...
What were we gonna call it?
I always liked the company.
Nathan smiles. Hero touches the side of his head in pain, and Ando asks, are you feeling okay? Not really, he says. It's time for us to go back home, Ando. The two of them turn and walk away. Then Claire stands beside Noah.
Can't believe he's really dead.
He's really dead, Claire. He really is.
And if this invisible thread that holds us together were to sever, to cease, what then? What would become of billions of lone, disconnected souls? Therein lies the great quest of our lives. To find, to connect, to hold on. For when our hearts are pure and our thoughts in line, we are all truly one, capable of repairing our fragile world and creating a universe of infinite possibilities.
End of Volume 4. Volume 5, Redemption. 6 weeks later. An apartment door opens and a suited man steps inside. Kent Harper, former Building 26 agent. He looks into the kitchen and sees the taps are on, the sink's overflowed, and water is pouring onto the floor. He steps inside and looks around, frowning, then sees the body of water flow unnaturally into the sitting room, where it rises upwards and morphs into a naked woman, Tracy.
You're number 4.
She holds out her hand. Nathan's in his office reading a newspaper story headed, Fourth Mysterious Drowning Baffles Authorities. He puts it down thoughtfully. Then Angela walks in.
I haven't heard from you in weeks. I was beginning to worry. Nathan?
He stirs from his reverie.
Sorry, Mom. Just haven't felt like myself lately.
Don't be ridiculous. This is a great time for you, Nathan. The world's your oyster.
We put all that nonsense behind us. The family's back together. This is your time. Now, come on. We're going to be late for lunch.
He smiles doubtfully.
Nathan, have you heard a word I've said?
Nathan looks behind her, then goes over to a standing clock in a cabinet with a domed glass case over it and stares at it. He opens the door and lifts it out, holding it thoughtfully in his hand.
just this clock. It's running a minute and a half fast.
Nathan adjusts the time, then puts the glass case back over it, nods to himself, and shuts the door again.
So, lunch? Italian? Or Chinese?
Angela's left staring at the clock. To be continued.